the Northwest home for paranormal, you're listening to U.S. Phenomenon with your host, Mario Magana.
From the Pacific Northwest in the shadow of the 1962 World's Fair, the Space Needle. Good evening, I'm your host, Mario Magana. This is U.S. Phenomenon. If this is your first time here, we thank you for checking us out. If you're a returning friend, thank you for being a part of the show. You can always be a part by calling us. The studio lines are open, 775-990-5151. Tonight, our guest continue to be integral parts of the U.S. Phenomenon show and a pulse, keeping a pulse on the climate. Michael Parker is a producer of over 300 episodes of content related to mysteries of the human science, the occult, and so-called conspiracy theory. Hosted a show, Antidote, Dark Matter, and much more. You can find him on Twitter at Michael Parker LA. It is my pleasure to welcome to U.S. Phenomenon, Michael Parker. Our second guest is a journalist and author. He's wrote several books, Pale Horse Rider, Lampshade, American Gangster. You can find him on Instagram at Pale Horse Rider Book. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Mark Jacobson and Michael Parker. Welcome, guys.
Greetings.
Great.
Holy smokes. Hey, guys, you know, it's crazy. I think the last time we had you guys on was, what, the prediction show? Might have been the last show that we did together, guys.
Or back in the fall or something. I'm not sure. I mean, it's been a while for sure.
So, I mean, what's going on? With are we getting ready for WW3? I mean, is this like WrestleMania? No, I kid. But I mean, what's really going on in the world right now with Russia? Is Russia trying to bring back the USS, back the USSR?
Well, actually, yes. I would say the answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
Because primarily, now, I don't know, some people might not be so happy to hear that, but it seems like the American empire, such as it is beginning to recede into what Marx used to call the dustbin of history. And, you know, there's a lot of room out there for other empires to arise. And if you look at the people that are making the most noise in the world now, Vladimir Putin, the heir to the Russian empire, the Chinese dude, you know, the heir to the Chinese empire, Mr. Erdogan, the heir to the Ottoman empire, and Mr. Orban, who is the heir to the Austrian Hungarian empire. These people have suddenly come out of nowhere, not out of nowhere, obviously, but they've moved up along the way.
It's all good. You know, it's interesting as Mark finds his phone, he's already getting his own phone calls about the show.
Sorry about that.
It's his agent once more. I said, hey, we need more money. Hey, you know, we're like 200 seconds away from doomsday. The doomsday clock has been marked at 100 seconds. Excuse me, 100 seconds is left till midnight. And that seemed pretty, like, just around the corner. I mean, it's less than 2 minutes. I mean, are we that close from end of civilization as we know it?
Well, what do you think, Mike? Are we?
Well, it looks like Mike got disconnected there. I think the dog may have knocked out his transmission there. Let's bring him back.
I'm sorry, guys. I was trying to quieten my dog and I was going to mute my mic, and I kicked myself out of the chat. Apologize.
We're off to a great...
I've got a great Pyrenees who is a bit of a tyrant herself. So
a great Pyrenees. Guys, you have a whole room for that dog? Or
Dude, she's got a whole house. It's like, you know, she just lets me live here.
But if we're like people from the younger generation, the iPhone generation, they have no clue about Doomsday Clock. I mean, I feel like we're going back to the Cold War days right now.
Well, okay. I would agree with you that we're going back to the Cold War days. And I had always hoped, and I had thought that, and I'm not taking sides here, but just on a strategic level, because I remember talking to my dad about this a few weeks ago, and I was just like, surely he wouldn't do this. I mean, Putin, I don't know how old the man is. I'm going to say he's probably in his 70s, ex-KGB, smart man. God knows how much he's worth. Surely he would not risk the ire of the entire globe and his own populace to go into Ukraine. But I've clearly been wrong. He's done it. So the next level is how far would he take it? And their economy's not good. Their military supposedly is not as strong as ours. So I have to hope, fingers crossed, that, you know, he will stop at this, because Ukraine, you know, there's two parts. The eastern side leans Russia and the western side leans towards Europe. And I've been trying to educate myself just on the state of Ukraine in general and what the general vibes are there. I mean, I think it would be madness to try to take this beyond Ukraine, but I don't know.
Well, it seems like it was madness to start up to begin with. So who knows how far he's going to go.
Right. But,
you know, the thing is that, like, one of the things that you're not reading in any kind of press or anywhere, maybe you'd hear it in a university, but these guys have hated each other for a long, long time. You know, it goes back at least 500 years to the Cossacks.
Yes.
And the during the period of time, the Soviet period, the leader of the Soviet Union, Joseph Stalin, launched a famine in the Ukraine that killed somewhere between 2 and 3 million people, which is a sizable chunk of people. And that was basically because they wanted to collectivize privately owned farms there. And they basically starved people to death. So they really want to see them again? I don't think so.
You know, as I sit here and listen, Is this the end for Ukraine and peace over in that area, that whole region? Are we done seeing peace over in that area now? Is that it for, I mean, are we going to have hundreds of years or the next 20, 30 years of war, fights?
Well, I do think it'll be, because my wife and I were trying to talk about this earlier. I'm just, you know, I'm still trying to figure this out. And the thing is, I'm a naturally skeptical person. Yes, I don't believe the Western media, and I don't believe Ukrainian or Russian media.
I hope you don't believe the Eastern media.
Well, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, media in general. I mean, everybody. So trying to figure out, like, how many people have really died? How many people have been injured? I would just have to guess that this would continue to go on for a while. I know that they had this meeting in Belarus this morning, and I was listening to this one general last night, because I had to go read this because everybody was talking about it on Twitter, how these fact checkers on Fox were infuriated by this guy. And his name was Colonel Doug McGregor, and he's a former senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense. Anyway, what he was saying was that, listen, this thing is done. It's over. It's inevitable that Russia wins. And so now they just have to decide what they're going to do. And what probably will happen is that the West will be allowed to be neutral, but the East, is which is the side that Putin seems interested in, he's going to try to take that over or annex it in some way. But that could still take time. And if they have a ceasefire, I mean, in our lives, I mean, we've seen various countries have ceasefires and skirmishes go back and forth for years. So I don't know how long it's going to take. I wouldn't think it would be a 10-year thing, but, you know, who knows? Maybe it's over at the end of the week. I don't know.
For those who have zero concept, I mean, if you were born before, after, I don't know, 1989, you have no clue of what it's like to wear dog tags. You don't know what it's like to live in this. You live in this utopia of iPhone, social media, just living the high life in your little social media world. For those that have not been a part of the Cold War era, why don't we show them a little piece of what was taught back in the day? Stand by for that. Let's play this. Here you go. And cover.
Be sure and remember what Bert the Turtle just did, friends, because every one of us must remember to do the same thing. That's what this film is all about. Duck and cover. Paul and Patty know this. No matter where they go or what they do, they always try to remember what to do if the atom bomb explodes right then. It's a bomb. Duck and cover. Sundays, holidays, vacation time, we must be ready every day, all the time, to do the right thing if the atomic bomb explodes. Duck and cover. That's the first thing to do. Duck and cover. First, you duck. And then, you cover. You duck and cover tight. Duck and cover under the table. It's a bomb. Duck and cover.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You.
And you.
And you.
And you.
Duck and cover.
Well, as somebody who saw that movie, that actual movie, in my second grade class or something like that. Oh, we're still going?
No, sorry. I didn't mean to continue.
They used to tell you we're going to have a shelter drill now. They had fire drills.
Yeah.
And they had shelter drills. And shelter drill meant that we would go in the basement of the school, you know, the New York City public school, you know, where the boiler is about to blow up anyhow. And you just sort of put your hands over your head, and that was supposed to make it all right. I mean, but,
It's interesting because I was watching some of these videos from back in the day. And, I mean, you guys remember the tags where you would have the identification, your name, you know, your phone number, your address. And really, it was just so that if something happened, they could be like, oh, this is Tim from, you know, Puyallup. You know, he's nuked, cooked, and charred. But, hey, we can take him back to his family. He'll be good, you know.
He's fried to a crisp, but, you know.
If you happen to catch that little part of his body, that's a...
right. I remember in the 80s, early 80s, I do not remember the movie. I think it was a two-part thing, and it was the rage for a minute, and it was about a nuclear destruction kind of situation. I was in college at the time, and we had nuclear disaster parties and stuff because that was on everybody's mind at the time. And but yeah, I mean, now I don't think you'll get that far.
Well, the thing is, like, you know, these things, the weapon. You mean, Vladimir Putin is really playing with a lot of you know, fast and loose with this whole thing.
Yeah.
A lot of the nuclear weapons that the Soviet Union used to have happened to be in the Ukraine.
That's right.
And they learned how to operate them. I mean, they weren't going to bring people from Moscow to do it if the United States was attacking them. They know how to do it. And, you know, if he's running around rattling his sword about how I've got these bombs, I mean, the other guys have the bombs too. So, you know, it's a crazy situation.
My understanding is that I think it was in 91, Ukraine handed over a lot, because you're right, they had this huge cache of nuclear weapons. And my understanding is that they gave them back to Russia in an agreement that Russia was going to kind of protect them.
Not all of them.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not all of them.
Well, surely not.
No, because I just think I have to go back to this idea that, like, you know, people are trying to, you know, they try to psychoanalyze somebody like Vladimir Putin. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, you know, how are you supposed to know what he's thinking? He's crazy, and he's this, he's that. You know, I'm sure he's got some tactical, you know, objectives here.
Just send out a nuke, let one off, and let it go to Siberia? Just to puff the chest a little bit to, you know, I don't want to call it woke, but to, you know, be like, yo, what's up? I got almost like swaggered or have this clout of, you know, like, I don't know. It's almost like a Hail Mary. Like, why would you even invade a country other than try to get back the USSR. I mean,
they lost the most hated person in the former Soviet Union is
Ivan Drago. Ivan Drago.
No, it might have been Ivan Drago, but it really is Gorbachev, right?
Right, right.
Gorbachev is the guy who supposedly gave it all away. And that is really the main reason why Vladimir Putin came to power to begin with. I mean, he was not going to put up with this kind of stuff, and he was going to try to return Russia to its former glory. The thing that I don't quite understand, I'd like you to explain this to me, Mike. Why do people, for lack of a better term, on the right, think that Vladimir Putin's a great guy?
Listen, I've heard that a lot. I don't think that people think that. I think that what people distrust is, like me, it's like, I don't trust any of these people. And
yeah,
if you look at a list of countries of the most corrupt, Ukraine's in the bottom third, man. I mean, this idea that there's some kind of angelic group of people and that their government is uncorrupt, I'm sorry, that's just not going to fly, man. And here's the deal. With Putin, he basically told us for the past 15 years, it's like, look, I'm not going to tolerate NATO and missiles on my border. That's not going to happen. And there have been many times where I thought, man, can we please stop poking this guy? Because there's going to come a day when he's going to be pissed off enough to strike back. So I've heard that a lot. But I think there's just massive distrust when it comes to the Ukrainian government. And Joe Biden and his family and the rest of these people who were over there involved in all this Burisma stuff, it's like, that sure is convenient. Well, and so, even if
does that mean you have to attack the country? I mean, can't you negotiate this out? I mean, what's the point?
But who's going to negotiate it? I mean, is Putin going to here's honestly what I think's happening.
He's going to have this hostile population. It's going to be like Vietnam times 10,000.
Well, if he does the right thing, that won't happen. So I was listening to this guy the other day, because here again, I'm trying to figure this out, and I hate war, period. But I never understood this. Right now, there's this viral video of some guy who's in Kiev, and I think he's probably an American Jew. I'm not sure. But anyway, he's living there, and he's giving this explanation that, look, if you think that Russia is failing, you should be here. Now, people have attacked him. His point of view, what he's trying to say is like, what Americans don't get is when we go into a country, we just lay waste to the place. We take out the power grid. We take out the water. We demolish the infrastructure. And then we just completely annihilate the place and do mop up. He says what he thinks that Putin is trying to do is capture the country, maintain the infrastructure, and then, install a puppet regime in the East or in the country, that's what I think he's trying to do as well. And he basically told us that he was going to do this if we continued to try to get the Ukraine into NATO or to put weapons on his border, which brings to the question. Then somebody said, well, what about the Western border? Well, the way I'm understanding is that he just means his East, the Eastern of Ukraine, his Western border, but.
It to me, when you look at it, and if we call it poking the bear or whatever we want to call it, gas prices are going to start to go up. I mean, if he's...
I stop you right there, brother. I've heard this nonsense as well. Oh, you know what? Ukraine caused the shipping problems and the gas prices. No, guess what? I came from the oil business. My dad is drilling oil wells again because we fumbled the energy policy so incredibly bad before. So no, I mean, I don't know where you guys are, what the prices are. We're well over $5 a gallon
California.
I'm in Brooklyn. I'm paying $3.69.
Dude, you're lucky. I mean, in LA and California, we got a lot of crazy taxes, but it's been well over $5 for a while.
Well, that's insane. I don't know. I mean, I just don't see how this is going to be popular. But this whole business, I don't know. The supply chain, this mythic supply chain, this
right.
Is our guest tonight, Michael Parker, Mark Jacobson, as we get close to the bottom of the hour here. We will step away for a quick short break. You guys, when we come back, let's talk about nukes. Let's talk about what the old school is. Star Wars still in play? What is our missile defense system? Let's talk about the ISS falling out of the sky and the threats that came out with that earlier in the week or last week. All kinds of crazy stuff going on out there. Is it the final countdown? Is it the end of the world as we know it? I mean, tongue in cheek. Right. We'll be back. You're listening to U.S. Phenomenon. You know, with all this that's been going on, why don't we play something that just kind of just moves the spirit? Little Brooks and Dunn, Only in America. Let's show our pride this evening. All right. You're listening to U.S. Phenomenon.
Sun coming. Driver in a traffic jam, staring at the faces in a rearview mirror, looking at the promise of the promised land. One kid dreams of fame and fortune, one kid helps pay.
Call or text the Phenom hotline, 775-990-5151.
Everybody gets to dance, only in America. Song going down on L.A. freeway. Newlyweds in the back of a limousine. Everything. She came out here to be an actress. He was a singer in a band. They just might go.
Listening to U.S. Phenomenon with your host, Mario Magana.